Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my favorite girl?
How are you, Cindy? I'm well.
Now, tell everybody what your beautiful Lisa has done, mm-hmm. how she's taken this great cosmic leap of faith into a whole new career, because it took a lot of courage for her to do what she's doing.
Well, you know what? It's a new old career, basically.
Right.
So, as everybody knows, that my wife and I are both in the entertainment business, and we both work for the union, doing set dressing. And Lisa's roots were in kickboxing, doing teaching and managing and things like that. And, after the writer strike and the director strike and the actor strike, obviously, that was definitely hard for us because, we were out of work because we couldn't go to work. And we couldn't go to work because other people wouldn't go to work. So when she decided to come back to the union after the strike, she's like, you know what, for quality of life purposes, I would like to go part-time. And I believe we told our listeners this, that she was going to teach kickboxing 2 days a week and do the union work 3 days a week. Well, apparently some people took notice, and some of the right people took notice. And all of a sudden, she was faced with an incredible opportunity to get in on the ground level of a new fitness concept that I'm not allowed to speak of, other than to say that it's the ground level of a new fitness concept. The concept is doing very, very well on the West Coast, and now they would like to bring that concept to the East Coast. They do have one location out in New Jersey, and they are looking to make some acquisitions in New York, Connecticut, Florida, and Texas. And basically, they would like Lisa, my lovely, beautiful, gorgeous, talented wife, to be the regional manager in charge of all of those locations. So she will be getting in on the ground level here, and she will be in charge of basically building these up to where the ones on the West Coast are at and beyond. So it's an incredible opportunity to start. It's significantly less money than she's making now, but the growth potential over the course of the next 6 to 12 months is amazing. They're talking about giving her, they're giving her percentages of sales, they're giving her commissions on sales. In addition to that, they're probably looking at, within the next 12 months, giving her equity in the studios that she's managing, which if she decides, hey, listen, I don't want to do this anymore, she still owns her portion of those companies and she will still be able to collect her checks. So it really is an incredible opportunity for her, and even though it's going to be a short-term hardship, the long-term is just too good to pass up, So she starts on Monday. She wasted no time. Yep.
Well,
she wasted no time. This is crazy. Yeah, I am too. And at first, she was thinking of the immediate, like, how do I jump into this opportunity when financially, we're still not set because of the strike. We burned through a lot of savings, and, I'm still not fully back at work because I'm not a cardholder, so I'm still only part-time at the union right now. So she's like, how do I take this opportunity knowing where we are at with money and things like that? And I said, you can't give up a long-term opportunity for a short-term problem. You know, I mean, it's very, very simple. The you know, the financial hardships that we're having, if that's a short-term issue, that's going to be remedied in about a month or so, you know, but long-term, you know, you can't sacrifice, you know, the next couple of years just because it's going to be a hard couple of months. I mean, that's just silly. So we're just going to make it work. We took the plunge. We're going to let go and let God. We're going to trust that the universe is not going to give us more than we can handle. And we're just going to move forward and go full speed ahead.
Well, I am so proud of her. I did pull a few cards. Interesting.
Oh, yeah?
Wheel of Fortune and the Three of Wands is a person who at the end of their life feels like they've accomplished everything they wanted to. So that's actually the card that you want to pull when you're doing a new venture. Okay? Okay. It looks really good. And, of course, you know, I love and adore Lisa. And, you know, right away when she got this offer, she had, you know, text me, can you do a reading? And I said, yeah, let me definitely squeeze you in. That's a perk of, you know, what your wife does for me, okay?
I can wring my wife's neck sometimes, okay? I really, really can. And I love her dearly, but I could wring her neck because she'll present me with these things. And I'll be like, okay, great, you know what? And I'll be supportive. You should go for it. You should this, that, blah, blah. Everything will be fine. And then she'll look at me and she'll go, okay, I'll do it, but I have to talk to Cindy first.
You see that? And that's I was like, she has to talk to me first.
And
I was like laughing because
be like,
I just
yeah. And then what she does to you, this is what she does to me all the time. I'll be like, baby, it'll be fine. Okay, I need to talk to Cindy first. So then she talks to you, okay, and then all of a sudden she comes back with, okay, Cindy said it's going to be fine, so I'm good now. I'm like, why is it when Cindy says it, you believe it, but when I say it, it's like, yeah, I still need a second opinion.
Well, that's why I was like, of course, I will always squeeze
you in. All major life changes go through Cindy first.
And, you know, it's funny because everything played out sort of the way I told her it was going to play out, you know. So,
yeah.
It was interesting.
Well, what's even funnier is she brought this up to me not too long ago because, you know, this is back in the fitness. This is back, you know, in the kickboxing realm, not completely kickboxing, but it's in that vein. And years and years and years ago, before she started the first kickboxing job,
yeah,
she had done a reading with you. And this was like when she was still part, you know, she was still contemplating whether or not she was going to go full-time from part-time, you know, and whether or not she was going to be an instructor at that point. So it was very, very early in her kickboxing venture. And you had told her then that you see her eventually getting most of her income from kickboxing and from fitness. And she did for a little while, and then it kind of faded, and then she did other things, and then that kind of faded. And now here we are full circle with this huge opportunity that would give her ownership of several locations, not just a single, but several locations, and potentially including the headquarters. So, like, if ever there was a time where it was, yeah, I'm going to see most of your money coming from fitness, now is it.
and
something that you predicted over 10 years ago.
And they come, and remember, 10 years is the magic number. But also, I'm going to give you some credit for your wife's career because if you remember, she was doing her music, and there was a point where you realized she's going to have to get a job because you couldn't support you, both of you. And you're the one who sort of got her to move forward, and not only did she get a job, now look where it's all blossomed. So if you hadn't pushed her out of the nest a little bit.
Sometimes my wife needs a little tough love.
Okay, so you also were the one, and you know, you helped her get a career that kind of followed her passion, too, which was good. So let's go for following, you know, our passions this year, okay?
Absolutely.
Do that. You know, and, you know, sometimes you pick up a hobby, it becomes a career. You know, you never know. What you start doing might turn out to be what you're really meant to do.
Well, that's what they say. Like, there's an adage about that where it says, where people like, because, you know, with all of the minutia that's out there and everything else, you know, some people, and I mean, several people that I know personally have said, you know, I don't even know what my passion is. And they always say that your passion is whatever you're daydreaming about when you should be doing something else, that's your passion. You know, so it's like whatever, like when your mind drifts, wherever that place goes, that's, you know, that's really what you should be doing, and you know, that's those the steps that you need to take. So it's weird because like when Lisa is not, you know, doing her music, she's talking about going to the gym. She's a gym rat. You know, she's talking about working out and being healthy and things like that. She's talking about training people and things like that. So it was nice because she did really get to incorporate a secondary passion, you know, when the music wasn't panning out the way that she wanted it to all those years ago. And now she's just fully embraced this whole culture. And she has really, truly built, she turned the job into a career. You know, she really did just turn a job into a career, and it could happen just like that.
Yep, and it's what we're telling people. Follow these things. Do it. You know, when I was a professional belly dancer, I never thought I would do that. I was doing it as a hobby, okay?
Yep.
Never thought that would be a 25-year career. Never in a million years.
And there it was. So,
there it was. Do you know what I mean? So, and the tarot card, kind of tricked into that. Never thought it would be my career.
Yes.
So, again, learn new skills. Teach yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read, study. You know, learn, expand. So I'm so glad for my Lisa and for you. Now,
thank
I know
you.
Jimmy wanted to talk to us, so we're going to let Jimmy go on first, and then please tell our listeners what they need to do if they want
absolutely
to talk to us.
Absolutely. All right. So as many of you know, but for those who do not know, if you would like to speak to myself or to Cindy this evening, please make sure that you press the number 1. This will give me an alert that tells me to pull you into the chat room to screen your call. Whenever I do not know the name of the person that is calling, I will always identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So please, if you do press the number 1, kindly listen for your last 4 digits so that you know that we are talking to you when the time comes. So, like I said, we're going to go, like you said, we're going to go to Jimmy first, and then I'm going to jump into the chat room and get our next caller all queued up. So here we go to our first caller, Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hello.
What's happening to our Jimmy?
Interestingly, you guys are talking about following passions because I've come to the full realization that I want a complete career change, and I want to buy a restaurant, and I want to run a restaurant. And the restaurant where my grandma used to live, and the owner of the restaurant had passed away, and the business kind of went under, and it's kind of went abandoned. I want to buy the restaurant and run it, but I don't know how this is going to play out, and it's expensive.
Right, and again, restaurants have a high percentage of going under. Okay, they're ones that, so, you know, have you been in the restaurant industry? I think you need to do your homework to find out.
So
because this
I
is a big, have you ever worked in a restaurant, first and foremost?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you have some idea.
Yeah,
of
so
what
I know how they operate. I know.
Okay,
how,
good.
You know, I know how certain things play out. So, I just don't know how. I mean, it's over $1 million to buy the restaurant, and it's abandoned. So I mean, like you're talking about, I don't even know how this is going to be possible.
All
That's
right. So again, we're talking about realistic dreams here, Jimmy. Like,
yeah, I know.
I mean, again, you would have to maybe get some people who might want to be a partner with you or, you know, invest in if you get the money people or whatever and come up with a business perspective here, perspective on this whole thing. You know, it could be doable. Could be doable. So, you know, figure it out. But you're a very smart guy, so you would have to figure out the logical steps of this, too. I mean, sometimes does it have to start with that bigger restaurant, or could you start with a smaller one?
It's more about restarting that restaurant because it's like one of the only restaurants in the area. So it's more about restarting it and getting it back up and running for the community where that is. But, you know, I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know how I'm going to do that. And yeah, I do. I was thinking about other potential partners, business partners that I could reach out to, but I don't know if they even have the money to assist with it. So.
Right. So again, you know, what you're trying to say is you do want to maybe have your own business at some level and at some point in time. And, you know, again, sometimes we have a vision and it might take 10 years to make it all come to fruition too, 5 years, you know, but, you know, what we really want, we end up having. So it does look like you'd have to do a lot of homework on this one, okay, and find out if you, you know, small business loans are not always that easy to get on restaurants because of the high, and it's not even a small business, it's a pretty big loan, because of the high percentage of it going under. But again, that's where you could, you know, approach investors or things like that. So, I mean, there's always a way. I mean, just a way, but think that one through and, you know, ask your grandparents on the other side for help because, again, they must have liked that restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They definitely did.
You know, they must have liked it. And so, you know, I'm glad you keep thinking. Jimmy keeps thinking of ways outside the box. And I do think you're eventually supposed to work for yourself. That's the card that I just got is you are supposed to, you know, eventually have your own business.
Okay.
Because that's households tend to need to work for themselves, by the way.
Right.
You know, they kind of like to do things their way. They like to do it correctly. Like when you work for other people, you can't always correct mistakes the correct way because they won't let you. You know, whereas if you work yourself, you know, you give something somebody a free something because, you know, you screwed up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not that hard when you have your own business. When you work for other people, they go, hell no, you can't do that. You know,
exactly.
So now, was there anything else on your mind besides that today?
Well, if this is something that's going to be 5 to 10 years down the line, what? How are other jobs looking? Other careers?
Yep. It does look like you're on the brink of, you know, getting a new career here. You know, the cards are all pointing to Ace of Pentacles. You're getting cards where you have to learn a new skill. So it does look like it's a different career. You're not getting, there are cards when I pull that show, it's the same, it's more of the same. Your cards are like, no, it's building on some of your skills, no less, but it's different.
Is it showing that, like, I'm going to go into a place and they're going to train me, or is it like...
No, it looks training.
Or is it, there's training. Okay.
It doesn't look like you're going back to school or anything. No, it's training.
No, but it's inside job training.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not worried about you. Your cards are really actually very good.
Okay.
So, you know, keep being you. You know, try to, like, research how people get loans for restaurants, how they do it, how it happens. You know, but sometimes in a thing like that, either smaller steps toward it or getting someone who's an investor, you know, people, you know, someone who wants to invest in a restaurant.
But even then, I'm an old soul. I don't think I want to rely on a partner because I was thinking about it. I'm like, I'd rather just run it myself.
Well, again, I know. But unfortunately, you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth with a nice big trust fund that you could do this. So, you know, well, keep us posted. We're going to try to get another caller today, you know. But good luck to you with all your venture, and I do see a new job coming.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Good luck to you. Bye.
All right, Cindy.
So we have Grace, you said? Okay, let's see what Grace
said. Next we have Grace. And Grace spoke to you. She did an in-person meeting with you about 10 years ago. And then she did do a phone reading over the radio show back in 2013. So it's been a while for Grace. So we're just going to treat her like she's a new caller. And basically, last time she spoke to you, she had spoken to you after her husband passed. And you had given her some very nice information and some messages. And recently she had somebody else pass, and she'd like to know if there are any messages for her from that person. But in addition to that, Grace is also in a very new relationship. And she also wants to know what your thoughts are on that new relationship. And of course, Cindy, if you see anything else in those cards, career-wise or anything else, feel free to share with her because she wants to listen to anything that you have to say right now. So here we go. We're sticking in New York, and we are going to go out to see Grace. Hello, Grace. You are on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Oh, good, Grace. It's so good to hear your voice. You know, your husband is actually glad that you have a new relationship. Okay, so let's hear from him first. How long has this new relationship been in play?
Okay, let me give you some information. My husband passed away in 2013. I called you 2 weeks afterwards. You said he wouldn't probably come through, but he did because he was very metaphysical. And after that, I was in another relationship for a year and a half, and I lost that person last June. So I'd like to know if person is coming through with any message
okay.
for me.
Now, it's funny because that person thinks of themselves as being a husband as well, okay?
Because
and,
we were going to get married.
Okay, because I got, funny, I got one card from a husband card, and then I got a card with another husband card, and across from that I got the hermit card, which is your lovely soulmate asking you, instead of mourning for me, look inward and see the light and know I'm in a good place, okay? He would want to be here if he could be, by the way, okay, still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had a definitely soulmate connection with this man. You know, you had that heart, soul, mind, body thing going on, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, because he feels the same way. He gave me the rest in peace card, which I think is something you need to know. I mean, look, he's not gone all that long, so he's gone long enough to settle in, but if he could still be here, he'd be here, okay? And, you know, there is nothing you could have done to change the outcome of this situation. Are you aware of that?
That's what I wanted to know.
Okay, because he said there was nothing you could have done. It was very close to his due date to go. Now, not everybody has a due date to go. Some people, it's, I don't know, a random act of karma, you're wrong place, wrong time, and, you know, you get in an accident and, you know, God takes you. In his case, it was very close to his due date to pass. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't want to be here and be a burden to you. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
He wouldn't want you wiping his ass and taking care of him. He's actually very funny, by the way. Did you used to laugh with him a lot?
Yes.
Because he's got a good sense of humor. He really does. And he would like you to smile and laugh. He feels a little sad that you didn't actually get married. I don't know if you feel the same way, too.
Yes, of course. Okay, he passed away 2 months before we were thinking of getting married.
And in his heart, he's calling you his wife, by the way. Okay, you're his wife. You know, you lived with him for a while?
Yes, he lived with me.
That's what I thought, because, you know, he considered himself to have been married to you. You're very, mm-hmm. I'm getting the High Priestess card with you. You became a little more psychic after your husband died. I think you were able to get some messages when he passed. Are you getting messages from this other man now, too?
I find feathers and I find things, and I don't know about the, you know, dreams, but I did become a lot more spiritual after my husband passed away because he was very heavy into, like, metaphysics and that whole thing, and, you know, he used to explain it to me, and this was way before I really fully understood everything that I understand now.
And do you realize he brought you this soulmate? You know, did you sense that when you got him that came to
you? I had a feeling he had. It took him a while, though, unfortunately. It took him 10 years. He could have been a little fast. You know what's so funny? My husband always said, I wasn't built for speed. I was built for comfort. And he sure lagged because it took him 10 years to send me someone.
Aw. And so you didn't have that much time with this other man?
No, I had less than 2 years.
Because that's, you know, first of all, I'll tell you what your soulmate love did for your wonderful soulmate who recently passed is, you know, most of us, you know, will have to walk the earth again or have a harder time in the next lifetime if we don't have a soulmate love that we maintain. And most people don't maintain soulmate love, by the way. They take it for granted. They run away from it. They definitely screw it up. You two maintain that soulmate love, which has made him go to a much higher realm than he would have had he not met you. So even though you only had 2 years together, you really did something to for his soul development. And, you know, you've had another soulmate. I don't think he had one before it. I mean, I think he had someone he might have loved, but you were the love of his life. Did he tell you that?
Yes, he told me that many times, yes.
Okay, I mean, he might have been married before, but it was never that he loved someone the way he loved you. You had another soulmate that you loved. So you know we have more than one soulmate, but you were the love of his life. So even though you only had the 2 years, in terms of, like, his soul evolution, if he had died without ever meeting you, he would have never known that you could love someone with your heart, soul, mind, and body. And you taught him that. And for that, he's very grateful. He spends some time down on earth with you, by the way. He likes to be in your home. He keeps you company. He's gotten to know your husband up there. They seem to be pretty chummy, wummy up there. They like each other.
Now,
would you like another soulmate in the future?
Of course, yes. I'm going for number three now because I really want to spend the rest of my life with a loving companion. I have a lot of love, and I think I have a lot to offer. So,
you are the most delightful energy, and I'm sure Nicole would agree with that. You've lost two soulmates, and the loss of a soulmate is one of the most painful deaths, and you've done it twice. And yet you still want that other soulmate. And, you know, you will be granted one sooner than later if you're not responsible.
Am I being greedy?
No, you're being like, you want to show people that love with all your heart. And
yes.
You know, most people are afraid to love with all their heart. They water it down. They run away from it. What if you die? I can't deal with it. They spend their whole life trying not to mourn or grieve. So if you have the courage to call into this show and tell that you lost your husband, and I know he was a soulmate because I remember you. I don't remember a lot of my clients, but I do remember you. And then you had another soulmate, and to have a third one would show if you're not responsible for the ending of a relationship, someone passes, they will grant you another soulmate. Okay, so this is showing people love with all your heart. Talking to dead people is brutal. Not your two guys, by the way. Most people would have, could have, should have loved better. That's all I hear. I should have loved
if
better.
If you ever have the... Cindy, can I say something? If you ever have, and this is for the audience, if you ever have the experience of loving someone for who they are, not for who you think they should be or who you want them to be, but for who they are with your whole heart and soul, and you wake up with your heart bursting every day because of the love they give you, that's a feeling that you strive for, and that if you have it, you're so lucky because people go their whole lives looking for that and maybe not finding it. So the feeling is so overwhelming and so wonderful that, of course, you're going to want to get it or have it again in your life if you could. And the world needs a lot of love, you know, especially now things are really, really tough with humankind. And
you're not kidding. And you're looking for a soulmate in the year between 2023 and 2028. It's supposed to be a huge gathering of soulmates. Again, what's been channeled to me from the other side, and I don't like bringing this up, is that they're afraid of another massive world war. The only hope for humanity is soulmate couples teaching peace, love, and joy. They prefer these toxic love affairs that was locking people in COVID for 2.5 years, blew up a lot of toxic love affairs that good people might have stayed in for a lot longer. Mediocre love, where you're shutting up, is teaching cold war. Toxic love teaches war. So this gathering of soulmates is crucial for the survival of humanity. And those of you who know me well enough know my real mission is world peace, one soulmate couple at a time. That's what I strive for. And so with you knowing that you have a lot of love to give, open your heart, you're telling my listeners who need to hear this, you never regret loving. A lot of people, once they've lost somebody they love, if they lost a child or they lost a parent they love very much or a soulmate, they seal off their heart and they stop loving. They shut down. Okay, that does not honor love. Loving with all your heart, opening your heart to it, that honors love. So, you know, these two men, they're both very funny, by the way. They're both,
yes.
They both
had a great sense of humor.
I mean, they both getting a kick out of this, you know what I mean? They're both thinking, man, we're going to bring our soulmate. We're going to help with world peace. They're like, yes, okay.
I don't know who's going to sign up to be number three with my track record.
Well, they're going to, you'll know it came from these two men because there'll be traits. This man will possess traits that they both had, but will be mm-hmm. unique as well. Okay, very unique as well. Who is Bob or Robert, by the way?
Robert is my fiance's brother-in-law. That's the only Robert that comes to mind.
Right, because for some reason he's watching over him right now or something about him. He said something about Robert. So
okay. His sister, my fiance's sister has cancer, so her husband's worried, you know, so I guess he's probably...
He's watching over his sister, and he's helping Robert right now. So he just wanted me to tell you, if you don't feel him near you sometimes right now, he's focusing a little on his sister and Robert right now. Like, that's who he's been assigned to watch over a little bit right now.
Okay.
So, you know, and he said, I'm doing my best to help.
Oh, my goodness.
And
that's wonderful.
He said, you know, Robert doesn't know how he can, you know, live without, you know, his wife. I don't know if you know that. Robert's pretty, like, terrified. And
mm-hmm.
part of it is to show people that you can survive after the loss of someone. You know, it's pretty amazing
right.
what you're showing. I really do like, you know, both of your guys. Your husband let your more recent guy talk more because, you know, he said, you know, my wife knows she can talk to me anytime, by the way. He's a good communicator. And he's sorry. He said, if I could have stopped his death, I would have, but it was above my pay grade because it was written in stone. They cannot stop a death that's written in stone, which means this
right.
is when they were supposed to pass. Okay?
Right.
And sometimes it is not your due date to die. You know, even if it, you know, those are the car accidents that, you know, you see, how do people walk out of a car that looks like an accordion, okay, because it wasn't
right.
their due date to die. It
wasn't their time, exactly.
It wasn't their time. Other times, you know, someone has a minor thing, minor operation, and, like, how the hell did they die during that operation? Oftentimes that is, like, a due date for a person to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you called in and, you know, keep us posted. Now, are you doing anything to find anyone, by the way? That's my question.
Cindy, I met someone who's very, very nice, and I wanted to know if you saw anything related to this,
When I first saw the cards, I saw you met someone else now. Okay, that's
yes.
the first thing I saw. Okay. How long have you known him?
We've just known each other probably about 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Oh. Okay.
Our conversations last like 10 hours, though.
And where did
where?
You meet him? Yeah.
Online.
Okay. Okay. Now, where does he live in relationship to you? Far away? Close by?
No, close by on the island.
Okay. And have you met him in person yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because we don't want any 10-hour conversations with someone that's close by and you don't meet them.
Oh no. We've seen each other twice. Our first date lasted like 10 hours.
Wow.
We just talked about everything under the sun, yeah.
Wow. Well, he looks like a really nice guy, by the way. And, you know, you have a strong connection with him also. I mean, you've had soulmates before. Soulmates have a recognition factor, very comfortable. Do you have that with him? Do you feel very comfortable
yes.
with him?
Yes,
good.
I do.
And, again, you're a very old soul, so, you know, brought a soulmate. You know, I'm not surprised that you would be brought one. You know, all love looks about the same the first 3 months. So sometimes, you know, it's hard to do, you know, to know if this is the forever guy because, you know, we've got to
mm-hmm.
see sometimes things show up or just incompatibilities that have nothing to do with being a bad person or whatever. But so far, on a 3-week reading, you know, this looks really good. Okay.
Okay.
You know, has he been married before?
No, he's been in a long relationship before.
Right, because I see I'm asking because I see a little bit of commitment issues here, so that could surface somewhere around the 3-month mark. You know, because even if the people have been with people that are not soulmates, I call them committed commitment phobics. They marry people they didn't love that much, or they live with people they didn't love that much. So that's, you know, he could have some commitment issues. We'll see if, you know, the 3-month mark will reveal that. So if you see him pulling away the 3-month mark, don't be fooled that he had a long-term relationship. That doesn't mean he's not afraid of commitment. Okay, you know.
Right. So, or it could have been the wrong, you know, the wrong relationship. People stay in
bad ones,
know,
even
bad
though it's not great.
You know the title of your book.
Yeah, well, good people can't leave bad relationships.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, and we know that drill, okay? And, you know, you're going to laugh.
Right.
I haven't read that book at all since I finished it in 2014. And someone said to me they were reading the introduction of that book at work, and everyone was, like, laughing and getting so much out of it. And I said, I don't even remember the opening. And I read it, and I said, this is pretty good. Who wrote this? I was like, huh. It made me think this had to be channeled, this book, because I don't know how I wrote that. But I actually had not read it in 10 years, so it's funny that you should bring it up on the radio show tonight, just on a day that I actually read the introduction, you know.
And I have your other book, Grant Me a Higher Love.
Well, no wonder.
I still have to read it, though.
Okay. I want you to do me a favor and start with the first chapter, which is Love and Fear. And you may have to jump to chapter 17, which is commitment phobia, and understand a committed commitment phobic and things like that. Because the cards I saw, I don't want to even put this in your head, but he could pull back around the 3-month mark, which is when the fear starts surfing. So you may need Grant Me a Higher Love at that point. So if you just have a little heads up and you know what's coming, you can usually talk about things and keep it from, you know, not working out. Do you know what I mean? Just acknowledging the fears. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
just bringing fear to the surface helps.
Right. I was thinking of, you know, I mean, this is the first man that I go out with after putting myself out there. You know, I have other suitors that are wanting me to call them and go out with them. So I don't want to pigeonhole myself, you know, in with this first person. It's just that we felt so comfortable with each other. I mean, he checks off so many boxes. You know, great conversation, stimulating intellectually, like a good heart, polite, a gentleman. I mean, he really has a lot going for him. And he's a foreigner. He's English. So,
okay. Well, I would just say give it your all. Be the greatest invitation to love. Okay?
Yes.
But
yes.
I have one
last important question to ask you.
Sure.
I invested in a restaurant before the pandemic, and this man had a lot of problems opening up the restaurant before the pandemic.
Funny
he
you're
out
talking
of money.
About this, and Jimmy's still listening, by the way. Okay, he went to open a restaurant.
Okay.
So
I gave him, I gave him the money. I did everything through, you know, with a lawyer and all that. He had problems. He ran out of money. He was waiting for permits, and then I don't even know how he got through the pandemic. I mean, he had to pay the rent regardless of not being open. And he finally opened. I still haven't seen a penny back from my investment. And I'm wondering, am I going to get that money back? Because I really need it. And I'm really counting on it.
Okay. I got the devil card on this guy, which is not a good card to get on a business partner. You're going to not, have you asked him about it? Like,
We've spoken about it several times, and he promises me, yes, that he is going to pay me back.
I mean, he's got to start making some payments.
Right, I know. He just basically opened, I think it was like the end of last year, so I'm giving him a chance to get on his feet.
Okay, but then it looks like you're going to have to start not being so patient. He's got to start giving you some money. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, you know.
That's not a good.
He's not going to come give it to you unless you start coming up with.
I have to be insistent.
So maybe you
need
to discuss with another lawyer what the payment plan's supposed to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
you know, whether...
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to pay me weekly. He was supposed to pay me weekly. At this point, I'll be glad if he can pay me monthly, like whatever.
That's what I look like. You're going to have to come up with a monthly schedule.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't wait for him to do it because he's not going to come up with it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure he won't. He's now looking for another location, he told me. So, I mean, really.
Yeah, before he does another location, how about start paying you before he takes your money and parlays it into more? Before he does that,
my money's long gone, believe me. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but before he starts spending more money, he's got to pay your money.
Of course. Of course.
Well, I'm just glad I got to read you. We're going to try to get another caller in tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much,
Cindy.
Thank you. Always great advice. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, wasn't she delightful? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We have someone you screened up, and I want you to screen the 518 in the last because we didn't pick up that person last week either, I don't think. So I want you to, I don't know if you'd be able to get them tonight, but I want you to, you know, screen them and tell them that we will, you know, definitely put her, you know, him or her on next week.
Okay.
Like, you can get to her tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You
so
got it.
Tell me about Victoria.
All right. Well, Victoria is a first-time caller, and she is also calling us from New York. And basically, she went through a divorce of a 31-year marriage. It's a very, very complicated issue. And her husband, her ex-husband, was a narcissist, and she's got some things tied up a little bit with him. And unfortunately, some of that happens to be financial. And on top of everything else going on, aside from her divorce, she did get hurt at work about a year ago. She's got no income aside from her alimony. And now she learned that her job never put everything in as workers' comp. They put it in as disability. So aside from her alimony, she pretty much has got nothing coming in. And, you know, she's got a whole bunch of stuff lingering over her head. And Victoria would like you to pull some cards on her to see when this stuff is gonna start happening for her, whether or not, you know, how this court case is going to look, you know, so when she could finally, you know, start collecting, you know, some funds there, and, you know, whether or not, you know, she's going to be able to get her house sold with her narcissist ex-husband. And I think as a secondary question to that, she also has a grandson that she hasn't seen in quite some time and who she's not allowed to see for some reason. And she'd like to shed a little bit of light on that as well. So I'm going to let Victoria take it from here and give you the details of her own life. And here we go to our callers, to our listeners out there. Let's speak to and hear from Victoria. Hello, Victoria. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Victoria. So you've been through a lot.
It's been a lot. It's been a hellish kind of 3 years.
Wow. I hope you do want love in the future, because the first part
I've never had it before, so I'm okay even if I don't. Maybe one day it'll find me. I don't know. I mean, listen, if it comes, I'll be blessed with it. I don't know what it is, so...
Right.
And I mean, my husband never loved me, but I just, you know, culture and things like that, you stay, you know?
Right, right. Of course, we know that drill. But now, you got hurt at work. Do you have a workman's compensation case going on?
Well, I got hurt last year in 2023. I was working and my knee went out while I was working. So long story short, I had two surgeries since that. But human resources put it as disability and not as workers comp, and the doctor actually had put I don't know what he said, was it because of the job or was it because you were hurt at work? So he put no, it wasn't because of the job, but she got hurt at work, so it went as a disability. Year later, I got two surgeries later because I had a knee replacement after that. So it's been a lot of talk about painful, not the knee replacement, just the pain in general, because I was so mentally exhausted. We just recently, this is new, the workers' comp. Are you hearing a second voice by any chance?
No. Is it, you're hearing an echo?
It's my end. Yeah, my end is like, I hear myself.
I hate that. Do you have it on a speakerphone?
I just put it back on speakerphone, hoping that's what the problem is. But if it's not on your end, then that's fine.
Okay.
A friend of mine actually pushed me. She's like, no, we're doing this. So she actually, you know, got in contact with her the one that did her husband. So we're trying to put it in, which is going to be a little pullback because she was like, oh, they never put a worker's comp. I said, no, it was disability. So I know there's going to be pushback. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this, the worker's comp, though.
Okay. It looks like it's worth trying for here.
Right.
You know, you might get a little something. I don't think you're going to get a huge amount of money, but it looks like you could get something.
Okay.
In the meantime, are you going to try to go back to work? Because I got a card of you going back to work. Do you want to do that?
I
want
to go back to work, but I won't be able to because my knee is still healing from the May surgery. It was a stage four, so it was so it's taking longer to heal, if that makes sense. It's still not ready. And it looks like my left knee is going also, which is going to need a knee replacement. As soon as I see the doctor, I know that's what they're going to tell me. They told me this 3 years ago.
Okay, so you're on disability now, though.
I'm on nothing right now. The job, my human resources stopped disability on the words of when I wanted to go back to work. So instead of looking at the doctor's form, she went on the words, I want to be back by this date, and disability stopped. I have nothing coming in. And I couldn't file for anything because I was so mentally drained by what's been happening that I couldn't even, like, do something for myself just to bring in finances. I'm in debt, and all I get is what I have now from him.
Right. And I would say keep going with the workman's compensation. Looks like you could get something, but you could also go on, you might need to.
She said we're going to try for Social Security. What is that, SSI or SSD?
It looks like SSI here. I see that too, okay?
Yeah.
Because you could get some SSI. I mean, that's what I see here. And then, when your knee finally goes, gets better, it looks like you'll be working again. You do need to take care of this. It's like urgent that you take care of it. I'm glad you're doing it now. You're not,
when my knee broke, I mean, the pain was, the surgery was, easy compared to 6 months of living hell. No painkillers, just Advil. So, and then when I did the surgery, it wasn't as bad. But this time, I'm very nervous because I'm still healing from this. It was very traumatic. And my divorce just went through only now, after 3 years.
Right. That's
so
what I see. You have a lot of – what's going on is you have post-traumatic stress disorder, by the
I
way.
I do.
That's why you couldn't function. That's why I want you to maybe, if you could see a psychiatrist or a therapist who has a PhD for the SSI, you could have it, that you have the post-traumatic stress disorder going on as well.
Yeah, because I can to be able, my if it wasn't for my friend, all she did was make that phone call. For me to make the phone call, and then I hear paperwork going, it's just bringing me back to such disappointment. What was going on through this divorce? I had to go to a second lawyer. It broke me somehow. Like, not him. I made it out of him. But just hearing paperwork, making phone calls was like everyone was just disappointed. I can't seem to do it.
Well, that's why you needed this help, and I need you to go to therapy and let them you have post-traumatic stress disorder right now, which is making everything infinitely harder. Anyone who goes to a medical system, by the way, ends up with some post-traumatic stress disorder. But it's unfortunate, but it's true. But also, you went through the divorce. I mean, when I could
it
see
was an
that
extremely
your,
abusive. I mean, it was
like,
an, it should have ended a long time ago, but.
Well, now you know why your knees went, because, you were carrying this cross of this guy on your back, The great news is you got rid of him. Right now it doesn't feel like the good news, but.
Oh, no, it's good news, because I worked with myself, like, what I allowed. I mean, if somebody bangs on the wall, I have to go somewhere so I don't hear it, because it brings me back to that,
Well, that's why you have, that's why I wrote the book, Why Good People Can Leave Bad Relationships. So a lot of things that traumatize people, it's a sort of, when you're with what I call an unfixable, which your ex was, a manipulative, judgmental, not accountable son of a bitch.
He was a narcissist. I never know what a narcissist was. I never.
Well,
oh, you never cooked and cleaned, and that's all I did was cook and clean and take care of his entire family. It was very, very devastating when it was a bad. It wasn't a great marriage, but it was the worst. What I went through, I've never seen in my life ever.
Right, and that's why you also have to deal a little bit with. You're not mad at him anymore. You're mad at yourself.
I'm mad at myself.
So I need you to stop.
If anyone hears me. Yeah, if anybody can hear me, I went through every memory I can recall trying to fix all the hate that I have, and I'm working through the process of all what happened. Nothing has been worse than the hate that I have in myself, what I allowed. It's
right.
Worse.
And that's also just good people tend to be crap takers, enablers,
yeah.
Okay, martyrs. We don't have enough
yeah.
self-love. You know, we've been brainwashed women to believe any man's better than no man. All the things.
I believe that. I believe he was better than me, you know,
right.
And
so
growing up like that too. So
you need to forgive yourself. Now, the hardest lesson, and I posted on Facebook today, is learning to forgive ourselves. You're also going to have to forgive him, but forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Forgiveness
exactly,
does not
right.
You forgive a person. You know, you forgive the person, but not his actions. His actions are absolutely unforgivable, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't have to forgive that. But to forgive when Jesus walked the earth doesn't mean what it meant now. It meant to untie. Untie the
yeah.
consciousness, untie karma, and all of that. You know, that's what that means. So we want to
yeah.
set you free from him, okay? So
yeah, like, you know what, it's crazy.
It's forgiving yourself, though.
Yeah, that's hard. Now, with disliking him and that hate that I was like, how could he have done this 31? All of that, it's a miracle is gone, but I wish nothing. I don't wish him good. I don't wish him bad. I feel nothing. Like, I wish nothing for him. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. And everybody's like, oh, you're going to learn to, you're not going to be able to trust relationships. I said, first of all, I don't live on what to continue my life so and not to trust people. That's not me. I'm not going to work. That's not me. If I come in contact with someone, I'm not going to say, oh, can I trust him? Or can I? That's not going to happen. I won't bring that energy into anything new, but I wish nothing for him. Nothing, enough, literally nothing. Like to me, it's like he's nothing. And I don't know how to explain
right.
it. He's a nothing to me. He's
look,
nothing to
look,
me. He's nothing.
You are karmically free of him. You know, so that's why you're feeling that. And to forgive means to, you know, untie, cut away. So it's
yeah.
good, but I need you to deal with the fact that you're mad at yourself.
Oh, extremely.
You know, because that's where, you know, I don't want you beating yourself up anymore over it because I want
I
you
even
to
let his family abuse me, and I wasn't weak, even his family. So it's killing me what I allowed these people to do. It's killing me. Like, how could I have allowed and I made some world in my head so I can live. You know what I mean? You never saw me mad. You never saw me upset. Everybody was like, this is like an aerodyne. But I know the depth of it. It was so bad that how could I have allowed this? How could I have allowed this?
Right. And again, it's sort of like, again, conditioning things. And it's also, it's a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome, which happened to Patty Hearst when she was kidnapped years ago. When you live with these people, they systematically break you down. And after a while, you know, they make you mentally ill with their, because
yeah.
they, so much gaslighting, so much this, so much that, that, you know, it's only when you step away from it, you could see how bad it was. When you're knee deep in it, it's hard to see. Yeah. So,
I saw the depth. I mean, gaslighting, they never thought I was pretty. My husband never loved me. I know that even then, but culture played a big role in my life. But
right.
I was considered ugly, you know, and growing up saying the same thing. I really actually believed it. I'm not even going to lie. I really believe it. Okay, that's true. Two different families, you know, he is better than me. You know.
Well, that's also, we've been brainwashed to believe what people say is true.
Yep.
Regardless of whether it is or not. And that's how people destroy people. And you know, you keep telling someone they're ugly, whether they are or not, they're going to think that they are. You know what I mean? And that's something that you're coming into your own. I want your other knee to heal a lot better. If you stop beating yourself up, you might find your body heals faster. Okay? You're
okay.
still punishing yourself. I don't want you to punish
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all new, the punishing to myself. Like, because you heal, you're trying to heal from the breakup and what people did to get involved to make sure it was broken up. And you're going through all these emotions to make sure not to live in that hate. Because my whole life married and what my father, because I also lost my daughter. And I wanted to make sure I didn't become the hate that I was being inflicted on. and, you know, come to terms what I was doing just with myself is incredible. I never thought I was going to go, like, hating myself this much.
Right. And, again, it's you were conditioned. You were, if we're not raised by parents that are supportive of us and help build our self-esteem, then we're going to be
too. My husband's mother was the same. She helped him, too. Same thing.
Okay, so
I was ugly.
So now you're coming into your own, but I do see, getting the SSI. You might want to build a little stronger case by going to a therapist because, what I could see is when a person can't even pick up the phone or make a call, they're going through depression.
I can't, yes.
They're going through a major depression, okay? And depression is anger turned inward in a feeling of hopelessness. So,
I talk to God in the morning. Please don't let my phone ring. Please don't let my phone ring. That's how much anxiety gives me.
Wow. Right. Yeah. And that's why, it's not uncommon when people leave an abusive relationship. The actual worst part starts to happen a little bit when you walk away from it because now you see it so clearly. And you don't even see it when you're deep in it.
I didn't see the depth of it. I mean, I knew he used to beat me up and embarrass me in front of people, but I didn't see the depth of who he is, like who he really is. And what I found before I filed, he kept beating me up and all that, I couldn't take any more hurt. What I found was I cannot believe what I was married to, a monster. And
right.
I'm ashamed of myself for this.
And that's why I want you to, also you were shame-based before you were with him because shame-based people will take this shit from people. I need you to stop feeling that way. The cards I got on him were awful, so I know he's bad. I got the cards on
really
someone that's really a really unfixable son of a bitch. But
he really is. And I like when you said that, son of a bitch. It made me feel stronger. It sounded good. Thank you. Like I felt it. I'm like, oh, my God, I feel somebody that cares, you know?
And someone who's, like, spent a whole lifetime figuring out unfixables, and he got every card on here.
And you said the perfect words, unfixable son of a bitch. I'm like,
unfixable son
sense.
Of a bitch. Okay. And if anyone could have affected him better, it would have been you, but he is a person too far gone. So forgive yourself. In your forgiving of yourself, your body's going to start healing faster. If you're going to keep beating yourself up, you're going to go through this. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. Call in again and let us know how you're doing. We're always here for you.
Thank
if you're having
so
a bad day
very,
on Thursday,
very much.
Because we would love to talk to you again.
Oh, absolutely. So, I'm definitely going to call and make sure to keep you guys posted. And thank you very much for taking your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good luck to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay, Nicole, we're at the end of our show. Did you get who the other person was, the 518 number?
I did. And that person, her name is Marie. And Cindy, would you just please, with the last 2 minutes left, will you please just reiterate what your email address is?
Okay. It's Cindy, C-I-N-D-I, Sansone, Braff, B-R-A-F-F, two F's like French fry, Cindy Sansone, Braff @gmail.com.
All right. This is why I never give out your email address because I always go back to the Cindy Bella address, and that is probably your email address from like 10 years ago. So, okay.
Yeah, the Cindy Bella one at Yahoo works, but the Cindy Bella at Verizon is locked, sealed. It goes into, it doesn't even tell people it doesn't go anywhere. I mean, I probably have a million emails in there, but I have no access to it whatsoever. So
that's
I can never get in there.
That's why I said to Marie, I said, I'll make sure that Cindy puts her real email out there so that you can take it down because, she will be calling and we will get her first next week.
I promise. I'm so sorry.
No,
okay.
I explained and she understood. She's a very, very kind and understanding person. And basically, things are not bad for her, which is great, but things could be better. And she just kind of wants your advice as to how to make them great. So she was looking for a little bit of general. And, she had a tough couple of years. And she's on an upstreak, an upswing, and she wants to know, Cindy, what she can do to make that upswing a little bit better for her. So we will be talking to Marie first.
Oh, I can't
next
wait.
Week.
I can't wait.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll be talking to her next week, and we do thank her for calling in again, and we do thank all of our listeners for tuning in, you know, as they always do every Thursday. So, as usual, Cindy,
oh, yeah.
You did a wonderful job.
Interesting group of people tonight, by the way.
Oh,
so
yes,
interesting.
We did.
Right. You did the spectrum of things, and you notice how people you don't call for like 10 years and then they call back in. It's amazing, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, good night, everybody. We'll speak next week. Victoria, be kind to yourself. We love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.